Hey, we got a good morning, good worship going on today, amen. And thank you to our praise band, our praise singers for leading us in worship. We got a lot of guests today, and they happen to be related to my brother and I, okay, a number of them. If you are a part of our family, would you raise your hand, please? Would you welcome these folks? They've come from Arkansas, from Indiana, Missouri, and I think that covers all the states. And Kansas, yeah. Colorado, yeah. The reason we've gathered here is my mom is 90 years old today. Would you? We are going to celebrate as a family afterwards in the gym and just have a good time of fellowship and food, and so we're looking forward to that time. So we've not seen one another for quite a long while, some of us, so it's really a special day for our family. And just a different approach this morning as we're continuing our way through the book of Matthew. The Sermon on the Mount, particularly right now, as we've been in for several weeks. And we are in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. You might want to turn there as we talk about heaven and hell today. And I thought that it might be just a nice change of pace to have a panel asking questions about heaven and hell, and Tom and I are going to try our best to answer those questions from Scripture. Let me just quote to you Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who find it, who enter by it. The gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." So I'm pleased that Shannon is going to ask us some questions today. And my brother Tom, who's in ministry, been in ministry for how many years, Tom?
48
years. And he's certainly one of my heroes in the faith, and I'm glad to have him up here to help answer some questions. And we want to try and answer these questions from the Word of God, not just our opinion, but from God's Word.
I'm just glad I'm asking and not answering. I get the easy job up here. So you guys are a lot like me in the respect that you grew up knowing about heaven. And a lot of people aren't that way. Just something I was taught from a very young age. And so, you know, there's a lot of people who probably struggle with understanding what is this place and how do we know it's even real? So how would you respond to that?
Well, I would first say, if we believe this book to be the Word of God, we have to believe in heaven and hell, simply because this book speaks so much about heaven and hell. Even the text today that we are looking at from the Sermon on the Mount speaks of a place of destruction, and it speaks of a place of life. It speaks of a broad road and a narrow road. So the Bible speaks of heaven and hell as places that are real, and Jesus spoke of heaven and hell as real places.
It's real interesting. Let me ask you all, how many of you would think that Jesus preached on heaven more than hell? Let me see your hands. How many think he preached on hell more than he did heaven? All right, you're right. About 56 times he preached on hell, 24 times he preached on heaven. Twice as much on hell as he did heaven. I think there's a reason for that. You know what, Kev, most people think they're going to heaven. Yes, the average guy on the street, if you died tonight, do you think you'd go to heaven? Most people would say, oh, yeah, I'd go to heaven. They have no idea what the Bible says about how to get to heaven, but everybody thinks, God's so good, he's going to let me go to heaven. And they just don't understand that when we sin, there is a separation from God, and there's only one way back. Jesus is the way. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, so if everybody thinks they're going there, then how can we be sure if we're going there or not?
All right, before I answer that, Shannon, I want to say one more thing. If there's no hell, why the cross? Think about that. If there's no hell to be saved from, why in the world did Jesus come here, put on flesh, live a sinless life, go to the cross, die a cruel death? I mean, if there's no hell, that doesn't even make sense. So the very fact that Jesus died on the cross to save us from this place is proof that there is a hell.
And certainly we get there by God's grace. We've sang about God's grace today. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast." And what that scripture simply means is you nor I or anyone else can be good enough to get to heaven by themselves. We couldn't preach enough sermons. We couldn't baptize enough people. We couldn't pray enough prayers. We couldn't sing enough songs. We couldn't give enough money. You nor I could be good enough neighbors that we could earn our way into heaven. The only way that we can get to heaven is through Jesus. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13 says, "He who has the Son," what? Has the life. "And he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you might know that you have eternal life." The Lord God wants us to have assurance of salvation, and the way that we gain that assurance is through a personal relationship with his Son Jesus.
So it doesn't have to be a guessing game.
No, it doesn't.
But you know, Shannon, I'm going to trust in Jesus for my salvation. I'm going to believe everything the Bible says about Jesus Christ. I'm going to respond to him by faith. I believe that he came here, that he lived among us, that he was born of a virgin. That shows that he's different. He's not your ordinary guy. He lived here without sin, the only person that never sinned. As a result, he could go to the cross for our sins and pay the price. All I have to do is respond to him. I'm going to respond in faith. Trust in Jesus. And you know what? I'm going to lay my sins at the foot of the cross. I realize I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. The Bible uses the word repent. I am going to turn away from my sins. I'm going to turn to Jesus. I am going to fall on his mercy and his grace. And then I'm going to go to the water. And I'm going to be baptized into Christ, picturing that death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. And it also pictures what happens to us. We die to the past. It's over. It's buried. The sins are gone. I'm going to come up with new life. The Bible calls it to be born
again.
Again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But Jesus does the work. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from
all sin. All sin.
Oh, all sin. That's right. That's right.
Well, one of the most famous Bible verses that we probably all know, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." If he loves this world so much and those in it, why would there be a hell? Why would anybody go to hell?
Well, people don't realize the holiness, the justice of God. There has to be a penalty for sin. And God is so holy, he cannot stand in the presence of sin. We are all sinners. So if we get what we deserve, we will be separated from God for eternity. But because of Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. I can be made in right relationship with him and be able to go to heaven. But only through Jesus. There is no other way except through Jesus Christ.
You know, God has done everything that he could do to give us this opportunity to go to heaven. He has given us his only begotten son. That means the only one of his kind. This is the only son that God had. And God was willing to give him up. And this was God's plan from the very beginning of time. Even before creation, it was his plan that his son would come here and suffer and die for our sins. And so he really is love. But to think that people would reject his son, that they would turn away from that sacrifice, that gift that God gave, then really God is giving them what they choose. Yeah. So it's really not that God is up there in heaven saying, I cannot wait to bring punishment upon these people. No. God has called us to heaven. He's chosen us to be his children, and he's given us the opportunity to be saved through his son. But if we say no to that love and to that grace, then he's giving us what we choose. He's giving to us hell.
And you know, he took our place. The cross and all that happened to Jesus there is a picture of what happens to a person who dies and goes to hell. For instance, Jesus suffered great pain and agony on the cross. Well, there's going to be a lot of pain and agony in hell. Jesus, remember the sun turned dark. There was darkness over the face of the earth for, what, 6 hours, 3 hours? Hell is a place of outer darkness. Jesus was thirsty. Hell is a place where there's going to be an eternal thirst. On the cross, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Well, hell is going to be a place that is totally separated from God. Jesus suffered, in a sense, hell for us. Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
So hell is talked about more than heaven, or at least Jesus talked about it more than heaven, and you've given us a little picture of it. Could you add to it, give us a little bit more about hell?
Sure.
And I mean, is this a just a punishment for us being bad and it'll go away and then we get another chance, or what is this?
Well, let me share with you some of the description of hell. It's referred to as a fiery furnace, an eternal fire, a place of fire, a place where the fire is not quenched. John in Revelation refers to it as a lake of fire and a place of burning sulfur where there is torment forever. Tom mentioned darkness, thick darkness, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. The bottom line about hell is that it is a place of unimaginable suffering. One might ask, is all of these terms that are used about hell, are they for real? Are they literal? Is hell going to be a literal place of fire? Is it going to be a place of darkness? All we can say is this is what the scripture says. Now, if by chance these are not all literal terms, then what Jesus would be doing is simply using terms that we can understand in our language, and to help us know that hell is a place we don't want to go to. Heaven is where we want to go.
I think the worst thing about hell is the fact that God won't be there. And hell, in Matthew 25, Jesus says, "Depart from me into everlasting fire." It's away from Jesus. And by the way, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not prepared for us. If you go to hell, you're going to be an intruder. It was prepared for an eternal punishment for Satan, who was at one time one of God's brightest and most glorious angels, and he led a rebellion, and a third of the angels rebelled against God, and immediately God prepared a place for Satan and his angels. Wasn't prepared for you. But it's a place totally separated from God. Help me, some of the characteristics of God. God is
good.
God is love. There is not going to be any love in hell. God is light, only darkness. It's called eternal darkness, chains of darkness, outer darkness. What else? God is, I'm sorry? Without sin. Yeah. Hell is going to be a place. Can you imagine sin running rampant? I think it's going to be, we can't even imagine. God is joy, and joy and peace. You know what? There's no joy in hell. I hear guys say, I just want to die and go to hell and get together with all my buddies, and we're just going to party down there, and we're just going to build some air conditioners, and it's going to be. You have no idea what you're saying, buddy. There's no laughter and partying in hell. A poem really got me. I read it years ago. It says, "On the freeway, he told me about eternity. I laughed. Then he asked me about my soul. I laughed. Then he told me about hell, and I laughed, and I swore, and then the crash, and the blood, and the pain, and finally, the darkness. Now I can laugh no more, because here there is no laughter." Man, I don't want to go to hell.
Amen. Well, maybe we should think of something a little bit more happy. So let's talk about heaven a little bit. How will life in heaven compare to the life that we know here on earth?
It's going to be so much better there than what we have here. I remember Keith Green years ago, one of my very favorite music artists, Christian artists, said that it took God 6 days to create this world in which we live. And we have a beautiful world that God has given to us. And you think about some of the places that you've been to and how beautiful those places are. Keith Green said it took God 6 days to create this world, and he's been working on heaven for how many thousand years since Jesus left? 2,000 years. Jesus has been working on heaven. He said, "We're living in a garbage can down here compared to what's going on up there." Heaven is just beyond our imagination. Tom's talking about, you know, hell being a place of no peace. Heaven is perfect peace. No joy in hell. Heaven is perfect joy. I'm thinking of the fact that there will be no broken relationships in heaven. Everything will be perfectly one between us and our Creator, between us and our Savior Jesus, and between all the inhabitants of heaven. It will be perfect harmony.
Maybe you guys can help us a little bit. In heaven, there's going to be Help us. God's going to be there. Jesus is going to be there. What else? Who else? No tears.
No pain.
No devil. No death. No sin. Family's going to be there forever. We're going to have to put up with each other forever. No hospitals. No doctors. No jails. No police officers. No, what else? Yeah, there'll be praise and worship and choirs and adventure. Man, I'm going adventure hunting. I mean, I think we're going to have abilities. Jesus could, in his resurrected body, could go through closed doors. He could be here and there. And I think we're going to have some of those abilities when we get our new bodies in Christ. It's going to be amazing. In fact, there's a scripture in Corinthians that says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Whatever we have seen, and I've seen some pretty sights. Whatever we have heard, I've heard some beautiful music. Whatever we can imagine, I mean beyond our wildest dreams and hopes, heaven is going to be so much better. Wow. I'm going. I want to go.
You know, you mentioned that a lot of people have, or at least some people have this idea of hell being a party. Well, and I've also heard the opposite, that heaven's just going to be boring. We're going to be sitting around on these clouds playing harps, and, you know, what kind of place is this going to be? I mean, has anybody else ever got that picture or had people talk, why would I want to go there and just sit around on a cloud? I mean, so it's more than that.
Oh yes, so much more. How do you sit on a cloud anyway?
Maybe I'll try.
if heaven were me sitting around playing harp, I think that would be more like hell than everybody else. Heaven is not going to be boring. You think about all of the blessings that God has given to us here on this earth. God is not a boring God. He is a God of adventure. He is a God of joy.
Remember the thief on the cross? Jesus said to him, today you're going to be with me where?
Paradise.
And you know what that word paradise means? The beautiful park or the beautiful garden. And I think of that Garden of Eden before sin, before death, and man placed there to live and walk with God and enjoy his creation. I believe it's going to be Eden restored. And it also talks in the Bible about heaven being, there are cities there. The New Jerusalem's going to be there. It's going to be a huge city. But I think there are more cities, because remember Jesus told that parable about the guys that did well, and he says, you've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you a ruler over 10 cities. The other guy, 5 cities. I think there are going to be cities. There are going to be parks. There are going to be gardens. There are going to be, God is preparing a special place, a room just for you. He knows you. He knows what you enjoy. I think he's getting it ready just special for us. It's going to be amazing. I also believe there are going to be pets in heaven, because it talks about animals, doesn't it? It talks about horses and lambs and wolves, and I think we're going to get along with the animals. I think it's going to be paradise restored. Whoa.
So thinking about heaven and hell and the reality that, I mean, these are real places, how should knowing this and understanding about these places impact our life now?
1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11 talks about the coming of Jesus and his judgment and how all of that should motivate us to live lives of holiness. So as we think about the wonder of heaven and we think about the horror of hell, We should want to give our lives to Jesus Christ. We should want to surrender to him. We should want to live lives pleasing unto him. I really do like what Charles Spurgeon said years and years ago. This was an old preacher from centuries ago, as he was talking about the fact that we should be telling others about Jesus as well. When we think about heaven and hell, it should motivate us to witness to others. Charles Spurgeon said, "If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. If they will perish, let them perish with our arms about their knees. Let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for."
Amen.
Wow. Who are we telling about Jesus? Who are we trying to bring with us to heaven? Who are we trying to pull out of hell? That's what we should be motivated.
I'll never forget years ago preaching a revival in the St. Louis area, and there was this youth minister. You can hear me. There was this youth minister and youth minister's wife that was there with a bunch of kids, and I mean, those two were on fire. And they told me the story about the preacher's wife and how she was so concerned about her family, because she was the only one in her family that was saved. And her sister was living with a guy. They weren't married. She called asking if they could come up and just spend the weekend with them. And so they said, yes, come ahead. Don't want you sleeping in the same bed. Not married, but you can come, and we want you to. And so one morning, the guys were out playing golf, and the girls were there by themselves having coffee. And the Christian youth minister's wife started witnessing to the sister. And the sis is sitting there, and she happened to have her ashtray and smoking a cigarette and just kind of listening. But there was a point in time where this youth minister's wife got so frustrated, she grabbed that cigarette. Or no, she grabbed the lighter. She grabbed the Bic lighter, and she flicked it on, and she took that flame and held it to her sister's wrist. And the sister went, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm trying to get your attention. I'm trying to tell you about heaven and hell, and you're not listening. If you think this hurts, you haven't seen anything yet." I'll never forget that story. I don't recommend that we use that tactic in witnessing, but you can't beat her passion and compassion for her sis. So I think we need to do whatever we can to get it done, to help our family members, our friends, go to heaven. Because remember, most people don't think they're going to hell. In fact, even some Christians don't get it. I am working with a gal right now. Her name is Dekla. She's the sweetest thing, and she loves the Lord, but she's single. She went on a trip to Europe. She's traveling all over Europe, and lo and behold, she connected with an old college friend that's living in Germany, and he invited her to come and spend a couple of days with him, and they rode bikes all over Germany, and he was so nice to her, and she's beginning to, they're keeping in touch, she's beginning to fall in love with this guy, and guess what? He's a Muslim. And she's saying, "Tom, what do you think? He is nicer to me than any man that I have ever gone out with. A lot of the church guys, all they want to do, all they can think about is trying to get me in the sack." Isn't that terrible? Christian guys, and then here's a Muslim that is nicer and sweeter to her than any of these other guys. And and he says, "Hey, God loves everybody, and there are many roads to heaven, and da da da." No. Dekla, Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me." Wow. Jesus, the only way.
That statement's not unique to her. Lots of people have made statements like that. Well, you know, I'm a good person, and there's lots of ways to go to heaven, and I have this friend that believes this, and this other friend that believes this. And so here's a Muslim that she's listening to, and I'm sure we've met people that have lots of different beliefs. How do we address that? That, oh yeah, we're all going to heaven. How would you respond?
According to Scripture, there's one road, and that is through Jesus Christ. He's the door, according to John chapter 10. Tom's quoted John 14. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. And though people may be sincere in what they believe, and they may be good people, we've got to understand there's just one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus. And so that's not to slam the Muslims, that's not to slam the Buddhists, but it's simply to speak the truth to you that this is what God's word says. And if we believe that this is the word of God, we have to believe that as the truth. Otherwise, we're making Jesus out to be a liar. You know, C.S. Lewis years ago said Jesus is either, he was either a liar or a lunatic, or he was the Lord of all, the Son of God. So if we deny John 14:6 as Jesus being the only way, we are making him a liar. I don't think he is. He arose from the dead. He's the only one to ever have risen from the dead and never died again. He's the Lord. And we have to submit to his word. Even though we may not understand that logic, we may not even like it. We don't like the idea of sincere people outside of the faith going to hell. But that's what Jesus said. There's one way. So we have to love those people, and we have to try to bring them into the fold.
Kevin, I think that's the key. And I talked to Dikla about that. Her friend's right. God loves everybody. And God is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. And we need to love everybody. And we are to try to build the relationship to earn the right to be able to speak to them about Jesus. But, Dikla, be careful as you get close to this guy that you don't get so emotionally involved that you can't see the truth. You lead this guy to Jesus. You lead this guy to the one God. Ephesians 4, verse 5 says there is one Lord. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. There's only one God, Jehovah God. Only one Lord Jesus. Only the blood of the perfect Lamb of God can take away the sins of the world. I don't care who else it is, whether it's Buddha or Muhammad or Joseph Smith or whoever. Nobody but Jesus and the blood of Jesus can atone for our sin. Thank
Amen.
You. Thank you, Jesus.
We're out of time. We had lots more questions, but you get two preachers up here talking, and you run out of time. But it's our hope that you are prepared to go to heaven, that you are confident that heaven is yours. If you don't have that confidence, if you don't have that hope, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, the invitation is for you. You've heard us talking about September 30th, just a few weeks away, people being invited to consider giving their life to Jesus. You all come on up. That's fine. We want you to consider giving your life to Jesus if he's not already your Savior. I was talking with someone this morning, and they were saying, that there's going to be a baptism in their family next Sunday. And they said, we don't want to wait till September 30th. And that's good. Today's the day. Now's the time, the Apostle Paul said. So just know that the invitation is always open for you to come to Jesus. Let's pray together. God, thank you. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, that he has come to save us from our sins, to save us from that place of destruction, to assure us of heaven. And Lord, thank you that most folks here today are a part of Jesus already. Help us to be growing closer and deeper with him, and to be having that passion to tell others that if there are people in our family, if there's people in our neighborhood, in our sphere of influence that are not prepared for heaven, that we would tell them. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name.